Well, so nice to see so many folks from all around the world. This is the second of CS50's New Year's seminars. This one is a taste of SQL, a language that's commonly used to manipulate data in databases, to be used on mobile devices, to be used on the web itself. And so this is indeed meant to give you a sense of just what you can do with this language and where you can go with it. If at any point today you feel a little bit overwhelmed, you have technical difficulties, you fall a little bit behind, not to worry. Everything will be made available on the course's website on the same page via which you access today's link or YouTube or Zoom. Before I introduce today's teacher, just wanted to welcome as well the 500 plus volunteers who are either in Zoom or on Ed or on YouTube or beyond, an amazing group of volunteers who have offered to mentor those of you who might be less familiar with the technology. So if during today's seminar, you'd like to ask questions via the chat, keep an eye out for answers from that group there. And also please feel free to post on Ed itself, the course's Q&A platform. We've had over 10,000 registrants for these and the other seminars. So it's been an amazing group from all over the world. Allow me to introduce now CS50's own Brian Yu, who not only teaches CS50's introduction to web programming with Python and JavaScript, but also CS50's introduction to AI. So if you like today's taste of SQL, do know that those courses are available to you as well as CS50 itself. Brian, to you.
Thank you so much, David, and welcome everyone. So good to see everyone here today for another one of CS50's seminars. Today, as David mentioned, we're going to be introducing SQL, which is all about dealing with data and databases. And so while we're taking a little look at SQL today, definitely feel free to ask questions. If you haven't found it already, at the bottom of your Zoom window should be a button that says chat. And if you click on that, you can say hi to other classmates. You can ask questions. And there, you're welcome to get help from the mentors. And I'll be keeping an eye on the chat as well for any questions that you might have throughout today. A couple of logistics to get out of the way first before we dive into things today. First, if you don't already have a GitHub account, go ahead and head to this URL, github.com/join, the link to which I've just pasted into the chat and Valerie has as well. There you'll be able to sign up for a GitHub account, which you'll need in just a moment to sign into some of CS50's tools. In addition to the Zoom chat, we also have a discussion forum called Ed, which you can access here, cs50.ly/seminars/ed. This is a place where you can ask more detailed questions and have more follow-up responses with other students and with the course's mentors as well. And in particular, there will be multiple times throughout today where I'll actually stop talking and give you an opportunity to try playing around with some data and spreadsheets and databases yourself. And if you run into any trouble there, want some help as you work through those problems, definitely turn to Ed as an avenue for trying to get help with that as well. And then finally, we'll be spending a good portion of our time today in CS50 IDE. We won't use it at first, but in a moment, I'll tell you to sign into CS50 IDE at that URL, ide.cs50.io, where you'll need to sign in then with your GitHub username. If at any point today you have any technical trouble with anything, definitely feel free to post a question into the chat or on Ed, and the mentors can help you try to resolve things. All of the slides that I'll be showing you today, in particular, that'll include some of the syntax that we'll be using, are also going to be at this URL, which I've just pasted into the chat too. And you can feel free to go there to follow along with the queries that we're going to be looking at in terms of how to use SQL and what this language actually looks like. And you can find all of the material for this seminar on the seminar's website, which you can find here, cs50.harvard.edu/x/2021/seminars. So all of the seminar information you can find there, which will include a link to these slides as well as to all of the other materials that we are going to be using over the course of today's seminar. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right into the world of dealing with data. SQL is all about dealing with data and databases, but before we even get to SQL, this language we can use for accessing and manipulating data, let's first just take a look at data itself and start with a form where you've probably interacted with data before, and that's a spreadsheet. And so here I have a spreadsheet of information that you should be able to see now, which is information about television shows. It's taken from IMDb, the website that happens to have a lot of data about television shows and movies, for example. And you've probably seen a spreadsheet like this before, even if you haven't seen this exact spreadsheet. And so to begin, I have a question for you about the way this data is organized. We're going to be spending a lot of today talking about how our data is organized and how we can improve the organization of this data. In this spreadsheet, what do the rows of the spreadsheet represent? And what do the columns represent? If you have an idea, feel free to paste what you think into the chat. What do you think the rows represent in this spreadsheet, and what do the columns represent? Yeah, each row, as I'm seeing people describe, are representing one individual unit of data. In this case, it's one television show. Every row is one separate television show. And what are the columns? What do the columns represent? Yeah, I'm seeing a number of different words used to describe it, field or attribute or property. All of those are very good words to describe what it is the columns are. They're just different pieces of information we're storing about each of these television shows. For every television show, we're keeping track of the title of the television show, what year the television show first aired, that's here in column B, how many episodes there have been of that particular television show. We're keeping track of what the rating is for that television show in column D, because IMDb takes ratings from users on a 0 to 10 scale as to how we should rate that particular show. We have some number of votes, how many people have voted for that particular show on IMDb. We have a genres column where we're keeping track of not all of the television shows, but for some of the television shows, IMDb has information about what genre it belongs to. It might be just one genre, like drama, or it seems that in other cases, we have multiple genres. This show might be action and crime and drama, for example. And then finally, in this final column, we have who are the stars of the show? Who are the people that have starred in each of these television shows? And we have a list of people separated by commas, describing the people that have starred in those shows. So hopefully this table is clear as to how this spreadsheet happens to be organized. Do you see any problems with this spreadsheet? Any way we could make the data better organized, or anything that happens to be maybe not ideal about the way we've organized this data if we want to be trying to access data very often? Yeah, I see a bunch of people talking about the stars column, how everything is kind of lumped together into one column. If I'm looking for one particular person, for example, they might be the first person listed in the stars, but they might be somewhere in the middle. These stars seem to extend even beyond individual cells, and so there are some names that aren't even visible from what I happen to be able to see here. And so that might potentially be a problem as well. Anything else? Multiple people are talking about the genres column, that yeah, there's some blank data and there's not a whole lot I can do about that given that I only have access to the data that's given to me by IMDb itself. But yeah, someone else pointed out the genres data isn't particularly well organized either. Everything's just in these names of genres that are separated by commas. And if I'm looking for all of the dramas, for example, I could do a search for drama, but I'd have to make sure to search for not only if drama is the entirety of the cell, but also if it's only part of the cell at the beginning or the middle or end. And I would want to have to be careful because maybe there's a title of a television show or someone's name that has the letters D-R-A-M-A in that order, for example. And that potentially could start to get messy too. Yeah, so a lot of people are saying this seems to be a little bit messy, a little bit tough to navigate. And so maybe there are ways that we could improve this. So what could we do? What could we do to improve the design of this spreadsheet? In particular, with regards to the genres and stars column. Yeah, some of you is suggesting we make multiple spreadsheets, and this can be a way that we start to organize data. Instead of putting all of the data just in one big spreadsheet, we can start to separate data out across multiple spreadsheets just to keep different pieces of our data in different places and also to help keep it a little bit more organized. And as Aldwin is describing, this is called normalizing the data. If you've ever heard the term normalizing, this is what we're going to be about to do. And so let me show you a second version of this spreadsheet that's modified a little bit. It's going to look a little bit more complex, but it will represent the same data and it will have some advantages in terms of keeping our data organized. And so here, this is version 2 of the same thing. And first, what do you notice that's different? What is different now between what you see here and what you saw before? Yeah, one interesting thing that several of you are catching on to is this column right here, the ID column, which didn't exist before. The ID column in this case is just going to be a number, but the important thing is that this number is unique, that no two television shows will have the same ID. So if I know the ID of a television show, I can uniquely identify that show just by knowing what its ID happens to be. And that's useful because the other columns in this table are not necessarily unique. It might be the case, and it is the case, that in IMDb's database, there are multiple television shows that have the same name, or multiple television shows that were released in the same year. And so it's possible that I might get confused between two shows that have the same name, and we'll see this come up a little bit later. But if we have an ID, just some unique number, it doesn't matter what the number is, as long as it's unique for every television show, now we're not going to run into that problem. Now we're always going to be able to uniquely identify a television show just based on that information. A few other people have caught on to the fact that I now have multiple tabs down here. In Google spreadsheets, each of these tabs is just called a sheet. In the world of databases, we're going to start calling these tables, that I have multiple tables of data, each of which is representing different information. And so notice that I no longer have a genres column or a stars column inside of this table. I now have two different sheets. I have a genres sheet and I have a people sheet. So let's take a look at this genres sheet and see if we can understand what's going on here. I see two columns in this table. I have one column called show ID and one column called genre. And so the way to interpret this genres table is that every row of the genres table is going to associate one show with one genre. And so for example, this row here is telling me, looking at this data, that whatever show has an ID of 4574334, in other words, whatever show has an ID of that, that show has drama as one of its genres, for example. And a show, of course, could have multiple genres, right? Here we have the same ID repeated three times. And under genre, we have listed drama and fantasy and horror. So whatever show that show number happens to be, that show is associated with all three of those genres, drama and fantasy and horror, based on what I'm able to read from this database. So all the genres information is still here, just as it was in version one. But now we're able to distinguish we're now able to organize this data a little more cleanly, where now in the genre column, we're only ever storing one genre, which makes it very easy to quickly find all of the mystery shows or all of the crime shows, because I can just look for every time a cell is equal to the word mystery or equal to the word crime, and I will immediately know what the show IDs are for that particular show. And so we'll get an opportunity to play around with this data too. And now I also have one more tab, which is the people tab. And does anyone want to try and interpret for me, what does every row of this people table represent? Each individual row, what does it mean? Yeah, so as multiple people are saying, we're associating some person with the ID of some television show. That, for example, this particular person starred in the show with this ID, 903747. And so if the same person starred in multiple shows, then I might see their name appear here twice and multiple show IDs. And likewise, if one show had multiple stars, as might be the case, then I might see multiple rows with the same show ID, but associated with different names. And so using this table, I have the ability to figure out exactly which people starred in which shows. And again, now this database is more easily searchable because if I'm looking for someone's name, I can just look for cells of data that match that name exactly without having to worry about if their name might appear in the middle of some cell between some commas, for example. And you could imagine if a computer is trying to find examples of that person's name, it's going to be more efficient to just do a direct comparison on this table than it's going to be to parse through all of those commas in the version that we were dealing with just a moment ago. Raj is asking, why is it the case that sometimes the same person has different IDs associated with it? The important thing to realize here is that these IDs are not the IDs of the people, they're IDs of the show. And we know that by looking at the name of this column, which is called show ID. And so if we see multiple different show IDs for the same person, that means that person happened to be in multiple different shows. All right, is there still room for improvement? Anything else about this table in particular, maybe, the people table, that we could improve to try and make the design of this better? Catherine suggesting maybe I want to separate columns for first name and last name. Yeah, that's certainly something that I might do, that if I cared about keeping first names and last names separate, that's something I could certainly do as well. Anything else? Areas for improvement. Yeah, a few people are suggesting that maybe I should have another table. And why is it that I should have another table? Well, one thing to realize is that, as Kieran just stated, there are some names that are repeated multiple times. I'm storing the same name, the same characters, multiple time for the same person. And that's maybe not a huge problem, but as my data starts to get larger and larger and I'm storing more and more data, I want to avoid storing redundant data whenever it's possible to do so. And maybe eventually I'm going to expand upon this table and not just store the names of people, but also what year those people were born, for example. So here I've added another column to this table where I've added a column called birth representing the birth year for each individual person. And now those are duplicated multiple times too, that I have everyone's name repeated multiple times and I have everyone's year of birth repeated multiple times as well. This maybe is not the ideal design because I have a lot of repetitive information. Another problem that someone mentioned is that maybe I have multiple people with the same name. That's certainly possible, just as there might be multiple television shows with the same title. I could have multiple people that have the same name too. And so that's something that I might want to deal with. Right now, I have no way of distinguishing between an actor that was just in multiple shows or multiple different actors that were in different shows. And so maybe giving every person an ID is an improvement too. So let me give you one final iteration upon this spreadsheet, and then you'll get a chance to work with it. Here is, I think, our final version of this spreadsheet for now. And I'll actually send you the URL for this spreadsheet in the chat. So here is a link to this same spreadsheet. And notice now that we have multiple tables here. I have a shows table, I have a people table, I have a stars table, and I have a genres table. And actually, let me send you a different version of the spreadsheet. Go ahead and go to this version of the spreadsheet that I just sent as well. That will get you to the same data. And so here we're storing all of the television shows. And this is the same information as we were storing before. Genres is storing the same information that we were storing before as well. But now we have a few new things. We have a people table here. And notice now the people table only stores each person once. Every person appears once. And in particular, every person now has a unique ID. Every person has some ID that uniquely identifies that person. So if I have multiple people with the same name, they're each going to still have a different ID. So I'm going to be able to distinguish between those different people. So that's one advantage. And now the perhaps trickiest table here is the stars table, which looks a little weird. It's just every row just has two numbers. What could this possibly mean? Any ideas for how to interpret this table that I'm calling stars? You can look at the column names as a hint here. What's going on in this table? What does it mean for each row? Yeah, I like Chris's answer. It's a relationship between every show and a star of that show based on their IDs. Remember, every television show has an ID in the shows table, and every person has an ID according to the people table. And the stars table is what we're going to call a join table. It's a table that links together these two existing tables. This row is saying that show ID number 68098 has person 604702 as one of the stars of the show. It's connecting a show to a person that started it. So we're still representing the same information, but this is now just connecting two IDs. And I can look for information in the shows table and the people table to try to get that information. A few people are asking how the IDs are determined. What the IDs are doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that the IDs are unique. In practice, what will often happen is that the IDs will just go up by one. The first row of record of data that you add to your database gets ID number one, and the next one gets ID two, and the next one gets ID three, and that would be fine as an ID. You could use other systems as well, but that's perhaps one of the simplest. All right, questions about how this data now is structured. It's the same data that we were storing in all of the previous versions of the spreadsheet, but now we're encoding the relationships between them across multiple tables. Vanessa's asking, could we also give IDs to the genres? Yes, we certainly could. We could additionally do the same thing again and create a separate table with one ID for each unique genre and then another table to link them together. That would have been a little bit too complex for now, so we didn't go that additional layer of complexity. For now, our genres table looks as it did before, just associating every show ID with the name of one genre. Sarah's asking if the film ID is a primary key. Yes, absolutely correct, Sarah. We haven't yet worked with the term primary key. We'll see it a little bit later today. But a primary key is just a fancy way of, in this case, saying something that we can use to uniquely identify rows in a table. We're going to uniquely identify shows in this table by their ID. And so this ID, we are going to call the primary key for this table. And we'll see that term primary key come up again. So if you see it again, that's what it means. All right, so with that in mind, I thought we'd get an opportunity just to practice a little bit with this spreadsheet. Again, if you don't have it open, you can open it up by going to this URL here that I've just pasted into the chat. And what we're going to do is ask you a few questions that you're going to try to answer based on looking through this spreadsheet. So I'm going to give you a few questions. You're going to try and answer it, and you might have to look across multiple of these sheets to try and find the answers that you're looking for. And here are your questions. You're going to open up the spreadsheet and use it to answer these four questions. Question one, in what year did Black Mirror first air? Question two, what genres are associated with the show Stranger Things? Question three, who are the stars of The Office? And question four, which shows has Jennifer Aniston starred in? So I'm actually going to stop talking for a little bit. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to open up this spreadsheet and try and answer as many of these questions as you can. And when we come back in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about how it is that you could have gone about solving and answering these four questions. Again, if you have any questions, post them into the chat and the mentors can help to answer them. But otherwise, I will go ahead and start a 10-minute timer. So you should see on my screen now a 10-minute timer. You'll have about 10 minutes to try and answer as many of these questions as you can, and I will talk to you in 10 minutes. All right, welcome back, everyone. Let's take a look at how it is we went about answering these questions. So let's start with the first question, which was what year Black Mirror first aired. What answer did you all get for that? All right, I'm seeing a lot of 2011. And the way you would have found that out, of course, is by going into the shows table, looking for Black Mirror. Now, these shows are in alphabetical order, but if they weren't, you might have just done a Command or Control F, did a search for Black Mirror, and you would have said, all right, Black Mirror, that row has a year of 2011 next to it, so that must be the year associated with Black Mirror. Great. Yes, totally fine to just be Control F-ing to try to find the information that you're looking for here. There's not much of a better way that we could go about it in many of these cases. But question two, what were the genres associated with Stranger Things? All right, drama and fantasy and horror. Very nice. Let's see how we would have gotten to that answer. I could search for Stranger Things. Here is Stranger Things, but this row no longer contains the genres the way it used to. We've separated data out across multiple tables. So what do I need to do? I need to look at what is Stranger Things ID, which is this number here, 4574334. I'll go ahead and copy that. And then I'll go over to the genres table, right? It's not people, it's not stars, it's genres that I want. And now I can just do a search for that ID. And I find that it shows up three times. It shows up one drama, one fantasy, one horror. Those are the genres that are associated with that show. All right, The Office, who are the stars? All right, amazing. You got a good list. It looks accurate. But how would we figure that out? I might do a search for The Office. I am going to find this ID. That's the ID of the television show The Office. And now which table do I go to next? People or stars or genres? What table do I have to look at next? Yeah, I see a few different answers, but the consensus does seem to be stars, and that's right. The people table ultimately has people's names. That's what I eventually want. But I don't know what IDs to look up yet. I don't know which names to look up. All I have is a show ID. So I need to go to the stars table, which associates show IDs with people IDs. And now I can look for the show ID for the office. I'll look it up, and I would find this list of person IDs. And now I just want to look up each of those people. And that's probably what you did. You went through those people one by one, looked up each of their names. And maybe that was a little bit tedious, especially given that there were seven of them. And you might imagine if there were more, it would be even more work. So remember that. We'll come back to thinking about ways that we could try to solve this problem. And now let's try the last one. Jennifer Aniston. What shows has she starred in, according to this table? All right, people have managed to find two, Friends and The Morning Show. So how would we have done that? Well, we could have first gone to the people table and looked up Jennifer Aniston. Here she is. Her person ID is number 98. And so now I would want to look at the stars table and find everyone with a person ID of 98. And this is probably where things started to get a little bit tricky, because you look it up and there are 381 results, according to my search. But that does not mean that Jennifer Aniston has starred in 381 television shows. And why is that? Yeah, Michael's answer. There's too many instances of 98 inside of other pieces of information. So if you had the data, you could try to sort the data and maybe look through it. It would be kind of tricky to figure out how to do. If you had this in a Google spreadsheet of your own, there's technically like a match entire cell contents you could do to try and find only the cells that match exactly what it is that you're looking for. But ultimately, this is kind of tricky to do, to figure out exactly how to find the exact show IDs and then look them up. Even though we understand what needs to be done, it's a lot of manual work on our part. And so the question now is, how do we make this better? How do we improve upon what it is that we've just done? And what we're going to do is leave the world of spreadsheets behind and look instead towards SQL, which is a language for working with relational databases. And a relational database is just a database that's structured kind of like this, with different tables that are related to each other by way of these IDs, just as the stars table is connecting the ID of a television show with the ID of a person. And what SQL is going to allow us to do is write a query or a question in SQL syntax about our database, and our database is just going to get the answer for us. We don't have to do all of the manual lookups of trying to find exactly the information we want. We are just going to be able to write a query and trust the database to do the work for us. So we're about to introduce this language SQL, which is a lot of new syntax. So not to worry if it feels a little bit overwhelming and a lot of syntax at once. After I present the syntax, we'll have ample opportunity to get some practice with it and start to get comfortable with it as well. But the first thing we need is a version of this data that's just in the form of a SQL database, which we'll see in just a moment. So what I'll ask you all to do is go ahead and go to ide.cs50.io, your CS50 IDE, which I'll paste into the chat, and you'll sign in with your GitHub username. And when you do that, you should see an environment that looks like this. And if you've never seen it before, the way this works is that on the left-hand side is what's known as the file browser of your IDE. This is where all the files are going to go inside your IDE. Right now, if you've never used the IDE before, you won't have any here, and that's okay. And then this area in the bottom portion of the screen, this is called the terminal window. This is where we are going to be running commands that our IDE is going to then follow. And the first command we're going to run is a command that's going to download a version of this television show's database. And the command is right here. And I'll go ahead and copy that and paste it into the chat in case you'd like to follow along. So go ahead and paste that command into your terminal window right after the dollar sign. So just paste that command. And what you should see is that shows.db will download into your IDE, and you'll see shows.db appear in your file browser on the left-hand side. So again, the command is wget followed by this URL, cdn.cs50.net/2021/x/seminars/sql/shows.db. And when you run that command, it should download into your IDE, and you'll see this file called shows.db appear in the file browser. All right, so what's next? The next step is we need to open up this database. And so what you're going to do is at this prompt again, where you see this dollar sign, go ahead and run this command. SQLite3, SQLite just happens to be one type of database that uses the SQL language. 3 is just the version number of SQLite that we happen to be using. But you'll type SQLite3 space, and then the name of the database we'd like to open. And in this case, the database is called shows.db. And then you'll press return. And once you type SQLite3 space shows.db, what you should see is this prompt up here right here, just says SQLite. And this now is where I can run my SQL queries. This is where I can run database commands to try and get information out of the database. Again, the command to download, thank you to those in the chat who have pasted the wget link to download the database. Once you do so, you should be able to get to where I am now, which is you run SQLite3 shows.db, and then at the prompt, you should see a little SQLite prompt, just like this. All right, so every database has a structure. In the same way that this spreadsheet we were looking at before had a structure composed of tables like shows and people and stars and genres, where every table has columns like ID and title and year and episodes and rating and votes in this particular case. The first thing we're going to need to do before we can start asking for information from this database is that we are going to need to figure out what is the structure of this database. In other words, what is the schema for the database? And to do that, here's what you're going to do. You can follow along with what I'm doing. At the SQLite prompt, when you see SQLite and then the arrow, type dot schema. No spaces, all lowercase, just dot schema, S-C-H-E-M-A. And once you type dot schema, go ahead and press return. And what you're going to see then, printed to your screen, are all of the tables in this database, along with the columns that are in each of those tables. And this syntax is going to start to look a little bit cryptic, but I'll try to draw your attention to the most important features of what it is you're seeing here. You see that we created a table in this database called shows. So there's a shows table. And inside of the shows table, in these parentheses, we're going to see all the columns. ID, title, year, and episodes. Those are the four columns in the shows table. What's the show's ID? What's its title? What year was it released? How many episodes are there in the show? This last line here, primary key ID. Sarah mentioned primary keys a little bit earlier. Primary key, again, just means some unique way of referencing rows in our database. Here, primary key ID just means this ID. That's going to be how we uniquely identify any particular show. So the shows table has an ID, title, year, and episodes. Then the genres table, much like the genres spreadsheet we were dealing with a moment ago, has two columns. One called show ID and one called genre. Show ID is the ID of a show. Genre is text representing what the genre is. And you'll notice that here too, every column has a type. We're not gonna worry too much about this today, but in short, show ID, that's an integer. Genre is some text. And so much as other programming languages, if you've ever used C or Python before, have types, in SQL, these columns have types as well. If you're getting a command not found when you type dot schema, be sure that you first run SQLite3 shows.db. You'll need to first open up the database with SQLite3 shows.db. And after that, and only after that, when you see this SQLite prompt, then you can type dot schema to see the schema for this database. All right, so in addition to genres, we have the stars. And stars, remember, same as what we were just looking at in Google spreadsheets a moment ago, now just represented in text form. The stars table associates the ID of a show with the ID of a person. And meanwhile, we also have a new table that we didn't have before called writers. This is to store information about who wrote any particular television show. And here we're saying that this show was written by this person. The writers table is also just going to associate the ID of a show with the ID of a person to tell you that this person is one of the writers for that show. Meanwhile, these lines here, foreign key, don't worry about these foreign key lines too much. In effect, all this is saying is that the show ID column is making reference to some other column. In particular, it's making reference to the ID column in the shows table. And that's what that is. When I have a show ID in the writers or the stars table, what that's referencing, what that number means, is that it means we're talking about the ID of some show. Someone is asking, what does not null mean? Not null just means it can't be empty, that there needs to be a value there and it's not allowed to be blank. Remember, we had some blank values in our spreadsheet we were looking at earlier. Not null means the database will not allow for it to be blank. Now we have two final tables. One is called ratings. So here, whereas before we had ratings just in the same table as television shows, in this case, ratings has been separated into another table altogether. And here we have some show ID. Then we have what its rating is, which is a real number, some number between 0 and 10. It has a column for how many votes it has as well. So the ratings table takes a show ID, tells you what its rating is on a scale from 0 to 10, and then tells you how many votes it has. And finally, we have a table called people, which is the same as the people spreadsheet we were looking at before. Every person has an ID. They have a name and they have a year in which they were born. So all of that is just to say that by typing dot schema, we get to see all of the data, or all, not all the data, but the structure of the database, what all of the tables are where we're storing data and what all of the columns are, to get an understanding for how it is this database is organized. And that's going to be really helpful throughout today. And if you go on to use SQL later, is being able to recognize and understand the structure of a database so you know how to ask questions about it. So let's try asking a question about it. I'm going to write our very first SQL query at the SQLite prompt. And the query is going to be select star from shows, followed by a semicolon. So what does this query mean? Well, anytime I run a select query, I start with the word select, I am trying to select or query data from this database. I'm asking for data from the database. And the way this is organized is that after select, I need to specify what columns do I want to select? What columns do I care about getting from the database? And I could specify exactly what columns I want, but here I'm saying star to mean just get me all of the columns. Select star means I want all of the columns from a particular table. But then I need to specify what table do I want to select from. So here I'm saying select star from shows. Shows is the name of the table. And so that is the table that I would like to select data from. So this whole query, select star from shows, means give me all of the columns from the shows table. Oops, I didn't mean to paste it again. Select all of the columns from the shows table, and the semicolon just means that's the end of the query. So when I press return now, you will see a whole bunch of rows being printed, and each one of these rows is one row from my television shows table. Each one has an ID, each one has a title, each one has a year, and each one has a number of episodes. And I should note too, that for all of the queries that I'm running today, you can find the queries that I'm about to show you inside of the slides. So if you'd like to follow along, or I run a query and you want to go back to it, you can look to the slides to find the query that I ran as well, in case I move past a query, but you want to go back and see it again. All right, so we just got a whole bunch of rows that were printed to the terminal. We were just selecting all of the television shows from the table. But in practice, this is not going to be all that useful. In practice, what I'm going to want to do is not select all of the data from the database, but only some of the data from the database, only particular rows that I care about looking at the data for. So for example, imagine that I wanted to answer the question that we had before, which is, what is the year in which the show Black Mirror was released? Now, I just got all the data. I could just search through this data and find Black Mirror, but that would take me a lot of time and be a lot of manual work on the human's part. So let's let the database do this for us. How are we going to do that? Well, recall that before I said select star from shows to say, get me all of the columns from the shows table, and we got all of the rows there. It turns out we can add another clause to this query. I can say select star from shows where title equals, and then in quotation marks, Black Mirror, semicolon. So I'll pause here to give you a moment to try it. But what I've now done is I've said, select all of the columns from the shows table again. Remember, the star means all of the columns. But now, instead of giving me all of the rows, only give me the rows where the title column is equal to Black Mirror. And those are the only rows that I want, only the rows where the title is equal to Black Mirror. So let's give it a try. I'll press return. And what you'll see when this query runs is that I just get one result. Instead of getting a big long list of all of the television shows in my database, SQL took care of the process of filtering down the data for me. And now I'm just getting that single row and I can see, all right, Black Mirror was released in the year 2011. And I can just read the data directly from that result. In this case, I only got one result, but it's possible that you might get multiple results that come back from a query too. So for example, let me try running another similar query, select star from shows where title equals The Office, for example. I want to look for all television shows where the title is equal to The Office, and I'll press return. And now instead of just one result, there's actually six results. There are six different shows inside of IMDb's database that happen to have the title The Office. And so now I'm actually seeing all of them listed here along with their ID, what year they were in, and also the number of episodes for that particular television show. And maybe I was just interested in the title and the year, for example. Imagine I don't care about how many episodes are in each of these television shows, and I don't really care about their IDs right now. I just want to know, what are the shows called The Office and what year did they first air? So instead of select star, where select star means give me all of the columns, I can instead say select title, comma, year from shows. And then the end is the same thing, where title equals The Office. And now, because I said select title, comma, year, instead of select star, rather than get all of the columns of data, I'm only getting the columns of data that I actually care about. I'm only getting the title column and I'm getting the year column. And that was the information I ultimately wanted. I'll pause here for a moment to give people an opportunity to catch up, to try to run these queries on their own, to try and see the same things. If you're seeing just the angled bracket prompt, odds are you forgot the semicolon at the end of your query. So if you just go ahead and add a semicolon and then press return, that ought to work. You should be able to see the result then. Dot schema, if you'll recall, dot schema just shows you the schema, the structure of the database. What are the tables in the database and what are the columns on each of those tables? Meanwhile, these queries we're now running are asking for actual data from those tables, for example. All right. So as a follow-up, let's do a couple other types of queries that we could write. Oh, and just to do this from the very beginning again, because some people are having trouble even getting here. If you're at this prompt, the dollar sign prompt inside of your terminal, you can run the command SQLite3 space, and then the name of the database, shows.db. And when you do that and press return, you'll see a SQLite prompt that looks like this, SQLite followed by an angled bracket. Here now is where you can start to write queries. Here is where I could say, select the title and the year columns from the shows table where the title equals The Office, and then I'm going to see the result that I expect. All right, so imagine now that I would like to know, like, what are the shows that are gonna be released this year or in the future. Like, I'm looking for current and future shows, shows that are going to air for the first time in 2021 or in some future year. How would I do that? Anyone have a thought on what that query would look like? A few people are getting stuck in the SQLite prompt. If ever you get totally stuck, just press Control C. Control C will exit out of SQLite, and then you can run SQLite3 shows.db again, and then you'll go back into the database. I like Ansel's solution, which is select title, comma, year from shows where the year is greater than 2020. And maybe I want all the columns, not just the title and the year. So instead of select title, comma, year, I'll do select star to get all of the columns. But select star from shows where year is greater than 2020 is going to give me all of the shows where the year is 2021 or 2022 or sometime in the future after that. So I don't just need to have an equal sign. I can use greater than or less than to perform comparisons inside these queries as well. So I press return, and now I see all of the shows that are released in 2021 or sometime in the future. And I'll go back and show you again what that query looked like. Here again was that query. Select star from shows where year is greater than 2020. Yeah, all of these queries you'll find on the slide. So thank you to Huiyan, who posted the slides into the chat, where you'll be able to find these queries here in case you'd like to go back and copy them. All right, so imagine now that I don't just want to know what the shows are. This is a lot of data. I care about knowing how many shows there are, how many shows are going to be released at some point in the future, this year or in a future year. I could just count up how many rows are there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and just try and figure out all of that information now. But I might be able to improve upon this. It turns out there are some built-in functions, functions that are part of SQLite itself that can perform various operations. And one of those functions is called count. So this was the query I just ran, select star from shows where year is greater than 2020. I'm going to modify this query slightly. Instead of select star, I'm going to select count star. Count and then the star in parentheses. And what that is going to do is it's not going to give me all of the data, but it's going to count all of the data. It's going to tell me how many rows come back when I run this particular query. So I'll press return. And as this query runs, we're going to get an answer that is going to tell us how many shows match this query, how many rows in our table match the filtering criteria that the year needs to be greater than 2020. So when you press return, we see here is the answer. The answer is 615 as the number of shows. One other piece of SQLite syntax that I'll show you is maybe you don't want to check for if one cell is exactly one value, but you want to check if it contains a particular string. Imagine, for example, that I want to find all of the television shows that are about the Titanic. And I'm going to assume that that television show will have the word Titanic somewhere in the title. I can't just do select star from shows where title equals Titanic. That's not quite going to work. I get nothing because there is no show that is literally just called Titanic. I want all of the shows where Titanic is somewhere in the title. So how do I do that? It's going to be a slightly different query. Instead of title equals Titanic, I'm going to say title like, and then Titanic, but with percent signs on either side. It might look a little bit complicated, but these percent signs are wildcards. They're placeholders, meaning any text can go here. So now we're looking for any shows where the title looks like this. Some amount of text followed by the word Titanic, followed by potentially other characters after that. And so now when I run this query, I see all of the shows that are about the Titanic, all of the shows that have the word Titanic somewhere in the title, using like instead of equal sign. All right, so we've seen a whole bunch of new syntax now. Let's take a moment to try this out. Let's take a moment to try seeing if we can use the syntax to answer some questions. The first thing that I might care about knowing, let's go back to our questions from before, was what are the genres for Stranger Things? Stranger Things is a TV show. I want to know what genres are associated with it. And I want to do so by running SQL queries on this database. So how am I going to do that? What queries am I going to run? What's maybe the first query that I could run if I wanted to know, if I ultimately want to know what the genres are for Stranger Things? Nazmus is saying, we need the ID. I need to know what is the ID of Stranger Things. So how could I do that? Let's select star from shows where the title is Stranger Things. And I'll press return. And interestingly, there are two. It turns out there are two shows called Stranger Things. And which one do I want? I'm going to guess it's the one released in 2016. So let me rerun this query, but now I don't want both of the Stranger Things. I just want this one, the one that was released in 2016. And so what I'm going to run is the same query again, select star from shows where title equals Stranger Things. But it turns out that if I have multiple criteria that I want to filter on, I can just add an and to say, let me add another criteria to filter down the results of this table. I'm going to say, give me the shows where the title is Stranger Things and the year equals 2016. So here is the query now, selecting data from the shows table where the following is true. The title needs to be Stranger Things and the year needs to be 2016. And that is now going to give me the ID of Stranger Things. And that's exactly what I want. If I only wanted the ID, I would do select ID instead of select star. I could do select ID from shows where title equals Stranger Things and year equals 2016. And you don't have to follow along with all of these queries. I'm just showing you different ways of trying to get access to that information. But here we now have one ID and this is that ID. So what do I do now? I've got this ID. What do I do with it? I want to know the genres for this show. And so yeah, Barney's suggesting look at the genres table. So what is the schema for the genres table? I can find out by typing dot schema again. And in fact, I can do dot schema followed by a table name, dot schema genres, to just see the schema for the genres table. So the genres table has a show ID and a genre column. So let me select the genre column from my genres table where the show ID is equal to, not the wget command, but sorry about that. Just this number, 4574334. That's the ID for Stranger Things. I'll press return. And now I see the same result you all found a moment ago when you were working with that spreadsheet, drama and fantasy and horror. Jonathan asks a great question, but aren't we still searching the IDs manually by typing it into the command line? Absolutely, we are right now. I'd argue this is maybe a little bit better because I didn't need to search for Stranger Things. I let the database do the searching first, and I let the database search for this show ID. But it is maybe slightly suboptimal that I first had to find the ID, then I had to do another query that used that ID. Ideally, I'd like to be able to combine these steps together. And so I'm going to introduce a slightly more advanced SQL topic. You don't need to use this for today's seminar, but it will make some of your queries a little bit more efficient. And that's the idea of nesting queries together, to have a SQL query inside of another SQL query. And so here's what that's going to look like. I'm going to start with this same starting portion of the query. This is what I want. I want genre from the genres table, where the show ID equals. But instead of literally pasting the show ID for Stranger Things here, I am just going to copy paste my query from up above that gave me the ID of Stranger Things. So this now is my command. Select all the genres from the genres table where the show ID equals, and then in parentheses, I've nested another query, another SQL query that I'm going to run as part of running this query, where I'm saying, all right, let's get the ID from the shows where the title is Stranger Things and the year is 2016. That'll give me the ID. And then look for the genres where the show ID is equal to that ID. So I've taken the two queries we just ran a moment ago that were hopefully a little more straightforward, and I'm nesting them together, combining these two queries into one another. So I'll press return, and we do see now drama and fantasy and horror. Those are the genres for this show. So nesting queries together is a particularly powerful tool for being able to try to solve some of these problems. I'll pause here for any questions that people might have about what it is that we've done so far. Yeah, if you're finding that this is a lot of syntax, totally understandable. SQL is a new syntax. It's very different from other programming languages you may be familiar with. Ultimately, it's just going to come with practice. And in a moment, after I show you a few more examples, we will get some opportunity to really get some practice in with SQL as well. All right, so let's now try and do one more example before I do some exercises with all of you. Let's try an example where we wanted to know who were the stars of The Office. So how would I figure out who the stars of The Office are? Well, the first thing I need, as with before, is what is the ID of The Office? I want to know what the ID of The Office is. And I can find that out by saying select star from shows where title equals The Office. This type of query we've seen before, but remember the problem we ran into before, that now we see multiple versions of The Office, and I don't really know, and SQL doesn't know, which office I mean if I'm only talking about one of them. And I might not remember exactly which year The Office I'm talking about happened to first air in, but I do know that it had a lot of episodes. So I'm just going to say that what I would like is whichever version of The Office had the most episodes. And I can look through this table pretty easily and find, okay, this is the one that had the most episodes, but this is me doing manual work. This is me looking through the data and finding the maximum value. I would like to let the database handle all of that for me. How could I do that? Well, let me start with the same query that we started with before, select star from shows where the title equals The Office, but let me add yet another clause. I'm going to add a clause that says order by episodes. Order by is a clause that will put the rows in order. Instead of just giving me rows of the database in some arbitrary order, we're getting the rows of the database in the order based on a particular column. Here, they're going to be in order based on that episodes column. So I press return, and now we see the exact same six results, but now in order by episodes. Here's six episodes and 8, 14, 28, 30, 188. Cody is asking a great question. How do I reverse the order? I don't care about the versions of The Office with very few episodes. I care about the versions of The Office that have the most episodes. So how do I do that? The query starts exactly the same way. Select star from shows where title equals The Office, order by episodes. But at the end, you're going to add DESC. DESC for descending order instead of ascending order. And now when I run this query, I get the exact same data, but now in descending order by number of episodes. I see the first one that I care about first, and then the others. And to add yet one more piece of syntax to make our query a little bit more complicated, but just to get the information we want, maybe I don't want six rows of data to come back. I only care about that first row. I don't care about the other five. So I can add one more clause to this query as well. I'm going to take this exact same thing, copy paste it, but then at the end add limit one. Limit is a clause that lets you say, here's the maximum number of rows that I want to get back from the query. If I say limit one, that will limit the results to just one row. And that is just going to give me the one version of The Office that has the most episodes. And that's the version that I want to be working with. So it's a long query. I'll review it again. Select star from shows. Give me all of the columns from the shows table where the title of the show is The Office. Order by episodes means I want these to be in order based on how many episodes they have. Descending order means give me the one with the most episodes first. And then limit one says I only want to get one result. Don't bother giving me the other results. And if I really wanted to, I could change the star to ID if I only wanted to get the ID of The Office and I didn't care about all the other information. So select ID from shows where title equals The Office. Order by episodes descending, limit one. That then gives me access to this number, which is the ID of The Office. Now what do I do? How do I find out who are the stars of The Office now that I have the ID for The Office? What can I do? What table should I look at? Yeah, Pranshu is saying, look at the stars table. This is what you did when you were trying to find out who the stars of the office were. You first found the ID for the office, then you went to the stars table and looked it up. What's the schema for the stars table? Well, I can type dot schema stars to see it again. It's got a show ID column and a person ID column. So let me select person ID from stars, where the show ID is equal to the ID for the office. And I'm now gonna get a whole bunch of person IDs. So again, I'm querying from the stars table. I know what the show ID is, so I'm saying where this is the show ID. And what I want to know are the people IDs. I want to know the IDs of the people. And now, as I see in the chat, now we look at the people table. And I could look up each of these IDs one at a time. Turns out that's gonna take quite a long time to do. I'm gonna have to run 7 separate queries to look up 7 separate IDs. I can be a little more efficient by nesting queries together. As we saw us do a moment ago with Stranger Things, I'm going to do it again for the office, where I am going to say, select name from people where ID is in. And in is a new keyword that we haven't seen before. I'll explain it in a moment. And then in parentheses, this query that we just ran a moment ago. Give me all the person IDs from the stars table where this is the show ID. And now I get all of the names. So I'll explain what's going on here in case you're feeling a bit confused. And then in a moment, we'll get an opportunity to really practice with this syntax too. In this query, in parentheses, we said, look at the stars table, look for any row where the show ID equals this. Remember, this is the ID of the office. And what I want is all of the person IDs, all of the IDs of the people who start in the office. That gives us all the people. And now I want to know their names. So now I can say, select name from the people table where ID is in this result. Notice I didn't say ID equals. The difference is that equals will only compare against one value. Where ID equals something is like where show ID equals this one value, and I'm comparing against one value. Here, there's not just one person that I care about. There's lots of people that are coming back from this query. So ID in this query means get me all the people where the ID is in this list, where the ID is one of the items in the list, and it allows me to search against a sequence of possible values instead of just a single value. I'll pause here for any questions. All right, in that case, what we're going to do now is give you an opportunity to practice with this itself. You're gonna answer some questions, no longer using the spreadsheet, but instead by writing a SQL query on this database. So here's what you're going to do. You can find in the slides all the queries I just ran in case you want to reference them again. But here's your next activity. You are going to go ahead and run, run wget of the shows.db file if you haven't already done that. And then you are going to write SQL queries to answer each of these questions. In what year was Jerry Seinfeld born? How many shows have a perfect 10.0 rating? What genres are associated with the show The Crown? Who wrote Arrested Development? And what shows has Allison Janney starred in? So I will give you about 15 minutes actually to try to work through these exercises on your own. If you have questions, post them in the chat or also post them on Ed. If you go to Ed, the link to which you can find in the chat as well, you can click on New Thread if you have a question. Mark it as a question, and then select SQL as the category, as the topic of today's seminar, and the mentors will be around to help answer your questions in Ed there too. So again, we'll give you about 15 minutes to try and write SQL queries to answer these questions. I care not just about the answer that you get, but also the query that you used in order to get there. No need to post your answers in the chat. You can just hold on to your queries and answers for now. I'll ask for your answers a little bit later after about 15 minutes or so, when we start talking about these questions. But with that, I'll go ahead and start a timer for about 15 minutes to give you some time to try and answer those 5 questions. And I will talk to you in 15 minutes. All right, welcome back, everyone. So there are multiple ways we could have tried to solve these problems, but let's try to talk them through, and hopefully you were able to make a little bit of progress, even if you weren't able to answer all of the questions based on the database. Let's see how we might have gone about solving them. So let's start with the first one, which is what year Jerry Seinfeld was born in. Anyone have thoughts as to a query we could have used to get to that answer? 1954 is the correct answer, but I'm more interested in how you got there. I'm more interested in what query you used to get to that answer. I'll open my IDE so you can follow along if you'd like to. All right, so we know it's the people table. That's what has the information. So I can select the column I care about, which in this case is called birth, from the people table, where the name is equal to Jerry Seinfeld. And that would have given you the correct answer, which I saw many of you paste, which is 1954. So again, to recap what we're doing here, select birth, that's the column we care about, it's called birth, from people, that's the table we're selecting it from, people. And then here is how we're filtering the data, where the name is equal to Jerry Seinfeld, make sure we only get one birth year and not the birth years of everyone inside of the database. All right, now we want to know how many shows have a 10.0 rating. How did we figure that out? Yeah, the first question to answer is what table is this data located in? And it's located in the ratings table. And if you forget what the ratings table looks like, you can always type .schema. .schema will show you the schema for everything. I could also say .schema ratings to just see the schema for the ratings table. And here I see that ratings table has a show ID. Here is the rating, it's a column called rating, and then how many people have voted. And it's really this column that I care about, the column that has the rating in it. So if I were to say something like select rating from ratings, or I'll just select star for now, select star from ratings where rating equals 10.0, then I'm going to see all of the shows that have a 10.0 rating in the database. And now if I want to know how many there are, as I see many of you have used, you can use that count function that I showed you a little bit ago. Instead of selecting star, I'm instead going to select count star from ratings, where rating equals 10.0. And that gives us our answer, which in this case is 27. Again, I'll pause after each one for questions. All right, let's go on to the next one. The Crown. We wanted to know what the genres were. How did we get that information? Yeah, so I'm seeing some suggestions here. And one of the suggestions is that the data is across multiple different tables. Glaza, if you've accidentally closed your terminal, you can click on the green plus button here and just click new terminal. And that will give you a new terminal in the IDE. And that should be fine. All right, so let me first figure out what is the ID of the Crown. And that's going to be in the shows table. I can select ID from shows where title equals the crown. And that gives me the ID of the crown from the shows table where the title is the crown. And now I can use that ID to figure out what the genres are. I can use the genres table for that, as I'm seeing multiple people suggesting. Select genre from genres. Genre is the name of the column. Genres plural is the name of the table, where show ID is equal to that ID that we just determined. And we see that the answer is drama and history, which I saw in the chat as well. So very well done. All right, and the last two questions, these two were a little bit trickier. First question is, who's the writer of Arrested Development? Who wrote Arrested Development? Oh, I guess before we get there, I should note, as many people have done for this question about the Crown, you could nest these queries together. I could say, select genre from genres where show ID equals, and then in parentheses, include this query that gave me the ID of the Crown. And that would combine both of those queries into one. It's the same queries, just combined now instead of separate, and therefore it gives me the same answer. And I'm seeing many people on question four now, nesting these queries together, and that's certainly a reasonable thing to try to do. I'm going to show you how you would have done it without nesting them first, but then I'll show you what it looks like if you combine everything together into one query. So we're going to first select ID from shows where title equals Arrested Development. This type of query we've seen many times now. We're selecting from the shows table, filtering based on a title. We want just the ID column to get the ID. And this now is the ID of the television show we care about. What table do we look to next? What table do we look to next? Parminder is saying the writer's table. Excellent, exactly right. The writer's table associates a show ID with the person or the people who wrote that show. So I can say select all of the person IDs from the writer's table as long as where the show ID is equal to that ID. And it turns out there's only one. There's only one person ID, but maybe there would have been multiple, but it turns out for this show, there's just one main writer. So I'll take that ID. And now if I want their name, I can say select name from people where ID equals that ID. And now we've got the name of the writer of Arrested Development. If you wanted to nest these queries, you could do so. You didn't have to. You could have done it this way and it would have been just fine. Three separate queries, one to find the ID of Arrested Development, one to find the ID of the writer of the show, and then one to look up the name. But you could have nested it, and what it would have looked like is it would have looked like this. What do I ultimately want at the end? I want a name. So select name from people where ID equals works if I know there's only going to be one ID, but I don't necessarily know that. There might be multiple writers. So to be safe, I'm going to say in, where ID is in some query. Remember, the difference between equal sign and in is that equal sign compares against exactly one value. In checks if a value is in a sequence of possible values, like a list of possible values. So where the ID is in, and now I want all of the person IDs. And that's this query here. Select person ID from writers where show ID equals, this whole thing is in parentheses, and where the show ID equals what, well, now I want the ID of Arrested Development. So I'm gonna do one more nested query also in parentheses and run this query. Select ID from shows where the title is Arrested Development. I have to end both sets of parentheses, so two closing parentheses and then a semicolon. And that gives me the same answer. It's exactly the same thing, just consolidated into one query instead of separated into three. I'll pause here to give you a moment to try the nested query if you'd like to. Mohit says you use the equal sign instead of in and it still worked. It would have worked this time only because there's only a single person who was the writer of the show. We didn't know that in advance though. There might have been multiple people. And so we wanted to account for that possibility too. Kylie is asking, why would we want to nest the queries? Well, one is it can make your queries a little bit more efficient rather than have to do many different queries. And we'll see in just a moment a case where we might have to do many different queries if we didn't nest. We can make it a little more efficient in that sense. But also it means we don't need to know the individual IDs, less prone to error. We might copy an ID wrong, for example. We don't have to worry about that. We just let the database figure out all of the IDs for us. All right, and let's now try the final question. Alice and Janney, what shows did she star in? Someone's asking about in again. In effect, when I select person IDs from the writer's table, I might not just get one person ID. I might get multiple person IDs. And I want all of the names of the people where the ID is in that list of IDs, where it's any one of those IDs, and use in to check to see if the ID is one of a list of possible values. And we're going to see that with this very next one, actually, with Alice and Jenny. I'll do it the separate way first, but we'll see soon that nesting queries is going to be much more efficient now. I'm going to first select her ID, select ID from people, where name equals Alice and Jenny. And we've got an ID, 5049. And now I want to know what are the shows that she starred in. So let me select all of the show IDs from the stars table where person ID equals her person ID. And I get a big list of shows. And this is where nesting queries can really start to be powerful. Because if I wanted to look all these up, I would have to manually look up, select name or select title from shows where ID is 101148, select title from shows where ID is 200276, and do that for all of these various different IDs. And that's not particularly efficient for me to do. It's a lot of queries. So instead, I'm going to nest them together. I'm going to say, give me all of the titles of shows where the ID is in this list of values. This query gives me a list of IDs. Give me all of the titles of shows where the ID is any of those. I press return, and now I get my list of all the TV shows. And you could triple nest this by nesting one more time here if you'd like to. I'll leave that as something for you to try if you'd like to do that. I'll pause here for any questions about anything. All right, so we have one final little problem for you, one last exercise to try that's going to involve getting some practice with SQL itself. And hopefully this will be something a little bit different. We have a mystery for you to solve, a CS50 mystery that we'd like your help trying to solve. It turns out that not too long ago, the CS50 duck was stolen. It was stolen in a town called Fiftyville. And the authorities in Fiftyville are calling upon all of you in today's seminar to help us try to solve the mystery, try and figure out what happened to the stolen duck. We got a little bit of information. The authorities think that the thief stole the duck, and then shortly afterwards, they took a flight out of town, and we think they had the help of an accomplice too. So here's your job. You've got three things you want to figure out. You want to figure out, number one, who's the thief? Number two, you're going to try and figure out what city the thief escaped to. And number three, you're going to try and figure out who is the thief's accomplice who helped them escape. So again, you want to figure out who the thief is, where they escaped to, and who helped them escape. We have a couple pieces of information that we know. What we know is that the theft took place on July 28th of last year, so July 28th, 2020. And we also know what street the theft took place on. It took place on a street called Chamberlain Street. But aside from that, those are really the only details that we happen to be given. But we do have a little more information. The town of Fiftyville has assembled a whole bunch of its records and put them together in a SQL database for you. And we're going to give you the SQL database in a moment. And using that database, your task is going to be to try to solve this mystery. So let's take a look at it. First thing to do is go ahead and go into your IDE and paste this line, which is going to download for you the database from Fiftyville. Going to download it from Fiftyville servers. And let me go ahead and paste this line into the chat in case you'd like to follow along with it. Wget followed by this here. If you're already inside of SQLite in the old database, again, you can press Control C just to exit it. You'll get back to the $ prompt. And when you're at the $ prompt, then you can paste wget and then the Fiftyville.db URL. And that will download this Fiftyville database onto your computer, into your IDE. And once you've run this wget command, I can then say SQLite3 Fiftyville.db to now use SQLite to open up the Fiftyville database. And this is the database we're now going to be working with. Gayatri, how to get back to the $? Press Control C if you're at the SQLite prompt. Control C will get you out of the SQLite prompt, get you back to the regular $ prompt where you can then run wget. All right, so once you've downloaded the database, and once you're inside it here, SQLite3 Fiftyville.db, what's the first thing we should do to understand this database? What's the first thing we should try to do? Dot schema, I love it. Understand the structure of the database, dot schema. And we see a whole bunch of tables, and I'm gonna leave it up to you to figure out what most of these tables mean, but I'll at least show you the first table that might be helpful. And the very first table listed here is a table called crime scene reports that has crime scene reports for every one of the crimes reported in Fiftyville. We've got a column for year, a column for month, a column for day, a column for the street on which the crime took place, a column for the description of the crime, for example. So let's try it. Let's try and query for some data from the crime scene reports. I'm just gonna do select star from crime scene reports. I might get a lot of data though, so let me just limit three. Sometimes if I just wanna understand what the table looks like, I'll limit myself to just a couple of rows to get a sense for what the table looks like. I'll press return, and this is what the crime scene reports table looks like. I've got a whole bunch of months and days, streets on which crimes took place, and then descriptions of each of those crimes as well. And I'm going to leave the rest up to you to try to solve. Though I will say, we do know the crime took place on July 28th, and we know it took place on Chamberlain Street. So that alone should hopefully give you enough information to maybe figure out what query you could run on this crime scene reports table to find the crime scene report for this crime. And I have a feeling if you find the crime scene report, that might lead you to some information that might prove a little bit helpful to you. So here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you 15 minutes to try this out. Go ahead and download this database into your IDE by running this wget command here. But here's now what you're going to do. Here again is a recap of the mystery. The duck is stolen. Your goal is to figure out who the thief is, what city they escaped to, and who their accomplice is. We know the information. The theft took place on July 28th, and it took place on Chamberlain Street. And I don't expect you'll necessarily be able to crack this mystery in 15 minutes. It is a little bit tricky after all. But in 15 minutes, see if you can at least come up with a list of suspects. Maybe a list of no more than 8 people in the town of Fiftyville who you think might be probable suspects in this theft. So your task in the next 15 minutes is to run some SQL queries on this database, see if you can narrow it down to a list of 8 suspects. If you can narrow it down further, even better, but see if you can narrow it down to a suspect list. And we'll talk about it after that. So we'll give you 15 minutes to work. Again, with any questions, ask about them in the chat, post about them on Ed if you'd like to. Go back to these slides if you'd like to figure out how to download the database and try to access it. But I will give you 15 minutes to try and make some progress, and hopefully you can help us out here. Don't post the answer in the chat if you end up getting an answer just yet, but you are welcome to ask questions in the chat or on Ed if you would like to as well. So I will see you in 15 minutes, and best of luck as you try and solve this mystery. All right, welcome back, everyone. So this was a bit of a tricky mystery to solve, and we didn't expect you to come up with an answer just yet, but hopefully you might have been able to make at least a little bit of progress at trying to figure out some information. I'm not going to walk you through the entire solution right now, but I'll at least help you get started and think about where it is that you might begin. Does anyone want to give me the first query they ran when you were trying to figure this out? What is the first query you ran on the database to try and make a little bit of progress here? All right, I see a lot of people looking for the crime scene reports table and trying to take a look at crime scene reports that took place on July 28th on Chamberlain Street. So let's give exactly that a try. I will go ahead and select star from crime scene reports, where the month is 7. And remember, you can use and to chain together multiple conditions. So I can say where month is 7 and day equals 28 and the street equals Chamberlain Street. And let's take a look. All right, we got a crime scene report from this day on Chamberlain Street. Theft of the CS50 duck took place at 10:15 a.m. at the Chamberlain Street courthouse. Interviews were conducted today with 3 witnesses who were present at the time. Each of their interview transcripts mentions the courthouse. All right, so what can we do next? We've got a crime scene report. Where should we look next? I see a bunch of people suggesting the interviews table. What does the interviews table even look like? Let me type dot schema interviews so I can understand the structure of this table. The interviews table, every row has an ID. Every row has a name, I guess who's being interviewed, the name of the person maybe. We got a year, a month, and a day. We've got the transcript, which is the text of what was said in the interview. So let's try and get some information from the interview. I like a bunch of these suggestions. We can combine 2 things. We know, one, that the interview took place on July 28th. And we also know, 2, this. Each of the interview transcripts mentions the courthouse. In other words, I like Michael's suggestion. You can use transcript like courthouse to say, I would like to figure out all of the transcripts that have the word courthouse somewhere in it, that mention the courthouse in one way or another. Remember, we did this before when I was looking for all of the television shows that mention the Titanic in their title. Same thing here, just looking for transcripts that mention the courthouse. So, let me select star from interviews, where the month equals 7 and the day equals 28. And the transcript is like and then in quotation marks, percent, courthouse, percent. Remember, the percent sign is a wild card. It means any text can go here. So I'm not using equal sign to say I want the transcript to be exactly some string, but the transcript is going to be like some text. As long as it has the word courthouse in it, that's good enough for us. And look at this. We've got three interviews for the three witnesses. We could start anywhere, but let's go ahead and start with this first interview. It looks like it was an interview with someone named Ruth. Ruth says, sometime within 10 minutes of the theft, I saw the thief get into a car in the courthouse parking lot and drive away. If you have security footage from the courthouse parking lot, you might want to look for cars that left the parking lot in that time frame. So sometime within 10 minutes of the theft. Now, what time was the theft? Anyone remember? It was in the crime scene report. What time was the theft? 10:15 a.m. Great, thank you. So within 10 minutes of the theft, that's got to be sometime between 10:15 a.m. and 10:25 a.m. The thief got into their car and drove away. And if we had security footage from the courthouse parking lot, we might be able to figure it out. Do we have any information about the courthouse parking lot? Did anyone find anything when you were running dot schema that might be able to help us here? Yeah, there's a courthouse security logs table. Let's try and understand how it's structured. Dot schema, courthouse security logs. And what we see here is that every row in courthouse security logs has a year, a month, and a day. Also an hour and a minute for what time. Activity, I don't really know what activity is, but I'll look at that in a moment. And then license plates for text. Let me just select a bunch of rows just to see what this looks like. Select star from courthouse security logs, and let's limit ourselves to 100 rows. Just get 100 rows of data. And this is what it looks like. It looks like I've got a whole bunch of years and months and days, hours and minutes. This would be like 8:14 a.m., for example. Activity, it looks like, is either entrance if they're entering or exit if they're exiting. And then we've got a license plate number. And so all of that is potential information that we might be able to use here. So let's give this a try. Let's do select star from courthouse security logs, where the month equals 7. Yeah, I'm seeing some good suggestions in the chat. And day equals 28. And hour equals 10, because it's 10:15 to 10:25. And I'm going to say, and minute is greater than or equal to 15, and minute is less than or equal to 25. And I can say, and activity equals exit if I want to. All of that useful information that might be good. And all right, here are all of the cars that exited the courthouse in that time frame. We have one starting at 10:16 a.m., going all the way down to two at 10:23 a.m. And I like Arwin's suggestion, which is to say, what's the useful information that we got out of this? Well, it's these license plates. I got all these license plate numbers now, and that's really the information I care about. So I can rerun this query. Instead of selecting star, let me just select license plate. So select license plate from the courthouse security logs where these criteria are met. And now I only have the information that's really relevant. These are the license plates of the cars that match the description from the interview. That's making a little bit of progress. Now, what are we going to do with these license plates? Anyone find anything interesting in dot schema? Really, a good strategy here is to look for what data we have access to. German is saying, look at the people table. What's the schema of the people table? Dot schema people. Every person has a name. Every person has a phone number. Person has a passport, a license plate. All right, so we've got a license plate column. There is a license plate column in the people table. And so let me now select all of the names from the people table where the license plate is in this list of license plates that I just found. So I'm going to add a parenthesis and then just copy this query that we just wrote that got me all of the license plates. So select name from people where the license plate is in, and then this is the query that we ran a moment ago that we're now nesting to get access to all of those license plates. And once we do that, we've got a list of suspects. We got a list of 8 suspects, and seems like it's pretty likely that one of these suspects is indeed the thief. I don't know who the thief is based on just this list. We only have 8 names, but there were 2 other interviews. And so if you'd like to try it, there's some more information you can use to try and narrow down on this list further, figure out who the suspect is. We also care about figuring out where they went off to. And we also care about trying to figure out who their accomplice was who helped them escape. So there's potentially some useful information. As we wrap up today's session on SQL, we do have a little bit of homework for you. If you'd like to try your hand at a little more SQL yourself, get a little bit more practice with this. So I'll talk about what that homework's going to look like. It's optional, but if you'd like to do it, you're welcome to try it. One is about movies. So we're giving you another database, this time all about movies, also from IMDb. The structure is going to be very similar. Instead of a TV shows database or a TV shows table, there's a movies table, but there's still a people table and a stars table that you can use to try and relate this information together. But we have a few pieces of information for you that you can use to try and solve, that you can try and answer using this database. We care about knowing what are the names of all the movies released in 2008? What year was Emma Stone born in? How many movies have a perfect 10.0 rating? What are the titles and release years of all the Harry Potter movies in chronological order? And the Harry Potter movies, you can just assume if a movie title has the words Harry Potter in it, we'll call that a Harry Potter movie. Who starred in Toy Story? And then what are the movies in which Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter both starred? So a few questions for you to answer in the spirit of our television show's question. And your second assignment, if you'd like, is to finish solving the Fiftyville mystery. We narrowed it down to a list of suspects, but there's still some more work to be done here. Figure out who the thief is, figure out where they escaped to, figure out who their accomplice is. This database probably has the information you need. You're gonna have to just figure out what are the queries that you're going to run on this database to try to get access to that information. If you need help on any of these assignments as you work through it in the coming days, post to the Ed Discussion Forum, where you'll be able to ask a question and mentors will be there to help answer. You do not need to stop using it after the session. Even after the session, the Ed will still be active and you'll still be able to ask questions and get them help from the staff. There are other seminars that are also coming up later this month and next month that I should mention. There's one seminar starting soon after the SQL ones end that's going to be all about Linux with Kareem, a member of our team. And then after that, Colton will be leading a seminar on game development. So if either of those are topics that are of interest to you, we hope to see you at those seminars too. But before we wrap up, one last thing. We would love to get some feedback on today's seminar. We always like to get feedback on things you liked, how you felt about the seminar, things we can do to improve future seminars that we offer. So if you could take a moment to go ahead and fill out this URL, cs50.ly/feedback. It won't take very long to fill out. It's just a couple of questions about your experience in today's seminar. And we always love hearing about your feedback as well. Michelle is asking, can you still use the IDE even after the seminar is over? Yes, absolutely. You can continue to use the IDE and sign in with your GitHub account to be able to access all of that information. And all of the information from today, you can find linked to from the slides. I'll paste the link to the slides one more time in case you'd like to access it there as well. But once you filled out that feedback form, that officially marks the end of today's seminar. Thank you all so much for being here. A special thank you too to our volunteer mentors who have been helping to answer questions in the chat and on Ed as well. And we hope to see you at a future seminar. So thank you all very much.